Okay, so if you'll take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. So we just started this last week, began the introduction, and last week we discussed the name in Hebrew. You could translate the name simply words. That's how it comes from the first words of the book. These are the words is the phrase, but you could make it simpler in English, just simply say words. So next time somebody asks you to do the books of the Bible, when you get to this one, just say words and you'll be right. All right. And then the Greek, in the Greek, it comes from Deuteronomy, means second law, is what that means. Second time the law is given, not a new form of the law. And then the date is just before the conquest of the land under Joshua, sometime prior to 1406 B.C. The author is Moses for the most part. There are some editorial additions, especially the chapter on the death of Moses, possibly by Joshua. And we talked about the form. And there is this thing called the Hittite Suzerainty Treaties. And some scholars have thought that the book of Deuteronomy resembles that. Now, I personally, these are conservative scholars hold to this, and one of the reasons they like it is because it helps to push the date back to around the time of the Exodus. Now, there are problems, in my opinion, with suggesting Moses derived his form from pagans who he had not personally encountered. And so I just, it really bothers me, that one. And so I had to make my stand against it last week. So if you want to see that, you can go back and listen to that one again. Anyway, we have a statement here from the Nelson's Complete Book of Bible Maps and Charts about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy consists of a series of farewell messages by Israel's 120-year-old leader, Moses. It is addressed to the new generation destined to possess the land of promise. Like Leviticus, Deuteronomy contains a vast amount of legal detail, but its emphasis is on laypersons rather than the priests. Moses reminds the new generation of the importance of obedience if they are to learn from the sad example of their parents. So it's sort of a restart, a reboot, if we want to put it into computer language. The first generation, as they come out of the Exodus, they failed to go into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. And so God said, and we're actually going to be coming up to this, to a comment on this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3. But God says that I will not let them into my rest. So I will not let them into the promised land. So that whole generation died in the wilderness. And now the ones that Moses is speaking to are those that grew up in the wilderness, mostly. Some of them were born there, and so that's all they had known. They hadn't actually known. Most of them had not known the captivity, the slavery in Egypt, and so this was a new experience for them. Coming to a settled land instead of being nomadic would be a new experience. And so he goes through the law. He expands the law. There's things that are included here in Deuteronomy that just aren't in any of the other books of the law, Exodus, Leviticus, or Numbers. There's things here that are new. So what we want to talk about is the message. Today we're going to talk about what is Deuteronomy about. And I'm still working on thinking about how to deal with it each chapter as we go through. But I've got a quote here about the outline. I'll read that. It says, Deuteronomy in its broadest outline is the record of the renewal of the covenant given at Mount Sinai. This covenant is reviewed, expanded, enlarged, and finally ratified in the plains of Moab. Moses accomplishes this primarily through three sermons that move from a retrospective to an introspective and finally to a prospective look at God's dealings with Israel. So those three words are important. We're going to see this in an outline here from a book called The Bible Reader's Companion, this first outline that I give you. And But retrospective, introspective, and prospective. So there's three, those are the three major sermons that are contained in the book of Deuteronomy. And then today I looked into another book and they said, well, there's actually four. Oh, that blows these whole outlines. But anyway, but it's almost all of it is spoken material. And actually, I'm trying to figure this out. You get to the end and sort of, if you look on that one outline, Constable's outline there, Moses' last acts. Well, a lot of that is spoken also. It's just not part of one of the original speeches. So we're going to work through this and think about what the message is. And we're going to do it, first of all, by looking at these outlines. So I thought this wasn't too bad, this one from Lawrence Richards in the Bible Reader's Companion, the theological outline of Deuteronomy. Now, he expands it a little bit more than this, but I thought I would take his main points. So the first sermon, consider. So that's retrospective. Look where you're from. He lays out the Ten Commandments. He looks at why God did this for you and what happened to your fathers and so forth. So consider, look back. Okay, so that's the first one. And then the longest one is on the covenant. So chapters 5 through 28. And that's introspective. That's looking into what is this nation going to be about? How are we to live? And there are, in this section, reading through this again here just a few weeks ago, you sort of think, this is dry. Reading law is dry. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Like, it's not quite as bad, I don't think, as reading one of, the laws that you get from the BC legislature. I've read a few of those, and it's like, oh my goodness. They pay people to write this? I don't know. Anyway, I mean, they have to be very precise in what they're saying in the way our law system works. But there's some interesting things about Hebrew law that the way they write it is different from our law. And I'll probably bring that in next time. I don't think I put it into this lesson tonight. But, okay, so the covenant. So that's all. And in a sense, it doesn't seem that organized as you go through it. You see that he's talking. If you look, step back and look at the whole thing, you see that he's talking about the covenant God is making with Israel and the stipulations and the things they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live and how they're supposed to treat other people and how they're, laws of property and so on and so on. There's all kinds of things in there. And you read it and I wonder, did the people actually sit there for the whole thing? Did he do it in one sitting? I don't know. The way it's laid out in Deuteronomy, it appears to be, one long sermon. And I wonder how many people got restless and got up and moved around when that was happening. Okay, so the third point, so the third message is commit. All right, so commit. So that's prospective. So there's a future you're heading into. So you need to make a choice. You need to make a commitment. And there's a lot of things in there. We'll talk about more of the content there in just a moment. And then finally, the conclusion. So, I also wanted to know, this is where in 31 to 33, much of the material is also spoken, but when exactly it fit into the schedule, we don't know. Maybe those were breakout workshop sessions, I don't know. All right. Okay, so, it includes the official commissioning of Joshua as the new leader. So what I want to do is I want to take you through, and let's just show the breakdown between these points. So if you look at chapter 1, these are the words which Moses spoke, and that's the introduction. And so verse 5, look at that one. Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound the law, saying. So that's the end, verses 1 through 5. It's sort of the prologue. The first major address begins in verse 6. The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb. Now, Horeb is Sinai. Deuteronomy seems to use the name Horeb instead of Sinai. And there's probably a reason for that, which we'll find out later. All right, so you see the beginning of his speech there. Right? And so then he's going to talk about the past, all of this, a review of God's faithfulness. This is what Constable calls it. And that goes all the way to chapter 4 and verse 40. And I want you to notice the break there. Okay, so down to chapter 4 and verse 40, it says, "So you shall keep his statutes, his commandments, and his commandments which I am giving you today, that it might go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the earth in which the Lord your God is giving you for all time." So that's the end of the quotes. And he says, then we have action. Then Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east, that a manslayer might flee there. So remember, in the law, there is this provision for manslayers, and this is how they dealt with murder cases or homicides, I guess homicides. And so if somebody had lain in wait, the way the system worked, somebody in the family could be designated the avenger of blood, and they could go and take that person's life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. So the somebody in the family would take vengeance if somebody had been murdered. Now, if somebody had not, if it was manslaughter, and they had not murdered the person, you know, they hadn't lied in cold blood, then they could flee to these cities, the cities of refuge. And so this is where he names three of these cities on the eastern side of the River Jordan. So where the tribes of Gad and Manasseh and what was the other one? Reuben lived. Okay, so that was their land. So they named these cities the cities of refuge. And this is done here in this section. So a little bit of historical interlude. This is preparation for the next step. And then there's a bit of an introduction. Verse 44, "Now this is the law which Moses set before the sons of Israel." And it doesn't start until verse 5, the actual speech. "Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully.'" And I guess this is where the Ten Commandments come in again in chapter 5. I misspoke earlier. I said it came the first time. In the first section, it comes in the second major address. This goes all the way to chapter 26. Now, what did I say earlier? I said 5 through 28. So you'll notice that there is a section in Constable's outline. There's a point number 5 where... this isn't the spoken part so much. It's not part of the second major address. I'll show you that in a moment. But this is where the other book I consulted today calls this the fourth one, right? Or the third one, the extra one. And anyway, so let's go down to the end of chapter 26. I want you to see the transition from the next section, end of chapter 26. All right, where is that? 25, 26. All right, and so I'll start in verse 16 of chapter 26. "This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. The Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made for praise, for famine, fame and honor, and that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God, as he has spoken." Now that ends this section of the speech. That's all the way from chapter 5. Through chapter 26. It's a long speech. But what is the language that we have here in these verses I just read? What kind of language is that? Anybody? Well, he's declaring a commitment. Okay, so what is the commitment? What's the word that we use in a covenant? All right, so this is covenant language. Okay, so he's saying there's a covenant between you and God now. You've made a promise, God's made a promise. Okay, so now you be careful, you with your whole heart, keep it, right? And of course, whenever you start something like this, you say, "Yes, I will," right? Then then you have to do it. That's a different story. Now notice in chapter 27, "Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, 'Keep all the commandments which I commanded you today. So there's a little bit of narrative there. So Constable's making a break there, whereas the other section, the other outline, goes on to verse or chapter 28 before they get into a new speech. Okay. Now you'll see in this that in here are the curses and the blessings in this section. And they were to go in, and you'll see this in the book of Joshua, where they stand half of the nation on one mountain, half of the nation on the other mountain. One set of people is uttering the curses, the other set of people is uttering the blessings. And this is part of the ceremony of establishing the covenant in the new land, all right, as they come into the land. All right, so let's go over to now to the end of chapter 28. It's a fairly long chapter, all right. And you'll see that at the end of chapter 28, it says the Lord, verse 68. Now, this is a prophecy. The Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way which I spoke to you. You will never see it again, and there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. So he's saying, if you don't obey, this is what will happen to you. Then we have, you notice there's a narrative section. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, these great signs and wonders. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. So he's now coming now this is the third major address, an exhortation to obedience, and he's going to talk to them about their future and how they're to live, and he's going to call for a decision at the very end, at the end of chapter 30. If you look there, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, all right, so that's the third major address. Now, there's something in this one that I thought I would mention as we're going through. You know how we talk about salvation for the New Testament, salvation is by faith. And sometimes people think, well, salvation in the Old Testament was by keeping the law. And they'll look at passages like this. Notice where it says, if you will do this, this is your life and the length of your days. See, in order for them to have life, they say, see, if I do all these things, I'll have life. But notice what it's saying carefully. This is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land. All right? In other words, what he's saying is so that Israel as a nation will stay in the land, keep the commandments. Keeping the commandments was not so much about your spiritual relationship with God, but about your political survival as a nation. Okay? So salvation in the Old Testament, and David discerns this, he says, sacrifice and burnt offering you do not desire, but a contrite heart. And this is what Abraham learned, that his faith was counted for righteousness. So this is the salvation in the Old Testament is by faith, salvation in the New Testament is by faith. And when the Old Testament talks about do this and live, it's talking about living in the land, right? It's talking about their political survival. Yeah, and of course they didn't. And of course they didn't, right? They didn't do it, and they didn't survive in the land, right? That's what happened. God promised it. That's what happened. And but he also promised to bring them back. All right, so that's the third major address. And then we have Moses' last action. You'll notice in verse chapter 31, so Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. So now he's giving his farewell, his last counsel. We have in chapter 32 the song of Moses. He says, I want you to learn this song. So that goes on quite a ways, 43 verses. And then there's the blessing of Moses. And if you go through this, you'll see that Moses names each tribe and he offers them a blessing. He's acting in the same way that Jacob did at the end of his life in Genesis chapter 49. And he, Genesis 49, every one of the sons are blessed by Jacob. And now by Moses, every one of the tribes are given a blessing. All right, and then of course chapter 34 is his death and burial. Okay, and Joshua takes over. All right, so that's the outline. All right, so I have a chart in the on your sheet there, on the next page. And this basically outlines or diagrams what we've just talked about. All right, so if you'll notice the first sermon, again, basically chapter 1 through 440, review of God's acts for Israel. And then the second sermon, all the way from chapter 5 through chapter 26, they're saying, so exposition of the Decalogue, the ceremonial laws, the civil laws, the social laws. This is what God expected of Israel. First sermon was what God has done. And then the third sermon, and the way this chart was designed, they put them all into this third sermon, but really the sermon part of it is that those middle sections. So there's a ratification of the covenant, that's the blessings and cursings, the Palestinian covenant, what's called the Palestinian covenant, that's the third sermon, and then the transition of the covenant mediator, that's the end, what God will do, what God has done, what God expected of Israel, what God will do. And they're also, you can think of the topics this way, historical, legal, and prophetic. Okay, and then I put Lawrence Richard's key words at the bottom, consider, covenant, and commitments, or commitment. All right, so I'm going to pause for a second. I do have a few more things to talk about, but I just wondered if there's any questions about all this material. I know I've been sort of rattling on and just going like, you know, it's all very academic, but I wanted you to see the divisions. I wanted you to see how these outlines are come up with in the book of Deuteronomy. It's one book that is fairly easy to outline in that sense because he has these breaks. You know, there's this long speech, and the speech ends, there's a bit of action, or else there's an announcement of the next speech. So that helps in outlining the book. Any questions or comments at all? All right. My commenters are not here tonight, so there's a reason for that. They weren't able to come. So, okay. All right, so let's see. Let's see what else do I want to say. If you look at the rest of your sheet, Constable has a quote, Deuteronomy is a selective digest of matters most important to the average Israelite in his or her relationship with God. So there's basically what I put the rest of this for the message content. We're talking about the message of Deuteronomy. So here's some key words. The word, the idea of covenant. This is a big deal in this book. It's the foundation of God's relationship with Israel. It's the covenant that's first made with Abraham. It's expanded and renewed under Moses. It stipulates to the people the terms for living with God. I have a long quote here. I think I'll just leave that for you to read. The next key word is the key word of love, especially God's love for the patriarchs and then for the whole nation. And the book calls for the people to respond in love. Okay, love the Lord with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and so forth. And then the word hearken. Now, I use that one. One of the book I was getting this, he says, listen and obey. He has this is the, but that's hearken. That's what hearken means. Hearken means listen and do. Like, it's it's sort of an old word. We don't use it very much anymore, really. But it's I think is helpful. And because of the theme of love, you know, love has got to be behind the hearkening, behind the obedience. Because otherwise, it's just duty. It's just, you know, or it's just force. And that, there's no relationship with God if it's just a matter of God said it, and he's bigger than me, and I have to do it. Right? There's no relationship if that's how we respond to God's directives. But if we have a heart that we love God for what he has done for us, for the redemption he provided, this is what the whole experience of the Exodus is about. God delivered you from Egypt. Love him. He loved you, you love him. That's what we do. We respond. So hearken. God's love for people motivates him to bless his people, and our love for God should motivate us to obey him. That's in Constable. All right, and then another theme is fear of the Lord. It's found 20 times in the book. It is a component of people's love for God. It's exhibited in obedience and purity, which brings us to separation. You are a holy people. And it's mentioned several times, holiness, holy, be holy. And there's the purity laws, the laws of cleanness and uncleanness, right? And those are the idea behind that is separation from the world. Be different from the nations. You're not to be like these nations in the way they live. And Israel was to maintain covenant purity and separation. Okay, it's a very important part of the theme of the book. And then remember God's faithfulness. And then finally, redemption. And you can read through all those texts if you like. But those are some key concepts in the book of Deuteronomy. And that is sort of wraps up everything I wanted to say tonight. I wanted to just sort of run through the message and show you how the book is divided and how it lays itself out. I think that for our own benefit, as we understand how God is dealing with Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, we can gain some insight into what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so one last chance. Maureen, do you have a question?
Well, I think it's interesting the point you brought out about love and God calling them to obey him because of love.
Right.
Because often people criticize the God of the Old Testament as being unloving.
That's right, they do, yes. Yes, and it's the way he says it in Deuteronomy 6 is, I didn't love you because you were a nice people. Didn't love you because you were better than other nations. I loved you because I loved you. He made the choice to love them, despite who they were. All right, Tola, what were you going to add?
The love you're talking about, in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 22, Jesus said, if you love me,
yes,
keep my commandments.
That's right, exactly. And that's echoed in the New Testament, isn't it? That's right. And so this is the basis of the relationship with God. Now, so one key thing, and this observation about, you know, do this and live, is something that I read a few years ago. A friend of mine wrote this, and I was really struck by that, because in the Old Testament, we get this impression that if they would just keep those laws, then they would have, well, we think, they would have eternal life. No, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. You'll live in the land if you keep the laws. You're going to live before God if you have faith in him. That's how it works. Okay, and so this is the message of the Old Testament just as much as it is of the New Testament. So as we go through this, these are things that we're going to see as we study these pages. All right. Yes, was there Cal?
Thinking, almost drawing a bit of a parallel in family relationships, that you might say you love your father.
Yes.
You're his child. He loves you.
Yes.
And but you love him just out of respect and everything else.
Yes.
But there's still the rules.
That's right. There's still the rules. Yeah.
And so that's where the fear comes in. Because
yes.
It's going to be punished by it.
That's right. Yes.
It's kind of a family dynamic.
It's a family dynamic. That's exactly right. And that's exactly the picture. That's what we call him, our Heavenly Father. Like, he is our Father in the heavenly sense. And yeah, but he does expect us. You know, it's not like, Maybe sometimes people have so much trouble with the rules in the Bible or God's directives is because they don't want to have an authority over them. They don't want to have somebody who, you know, like, how can I love somebody like that? Well, you know, a loving Heavenly Father, you can love Him because of He has done so much for us. And I read one guy one time. He said, the question of whether or not God loves us was forever settled at the cross. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And the same thing is true for Israel. I mean, the Exodus is a picture of what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. So in the New Testament, it's a new Exodus. But it's really, I mean, it's all one story. There are distinctions between the Old Testament and the New Testament, but the whole way of relating to God is through faith, by growing, and because of our faith, then we want to live for Him. Same idea is taught in the New Testament that, you know, we are not saved by works, but because we're saved, we want to work, we want to please God, and that's the difference. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our last song. Our Father, we thank You for this time. Tonight we pray for Your blessing on our understanding. As we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we pray that it might be something that is profitable to us as we go through its pages. We pray for Your blessing on as we go home tonight, and for each one that brings us back on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.